Welcome to the Outdoor Dream Jobs podcast. I'm Allie Carr.
And I'm Jenna Selmer. We run Basecamp, an online community of more than 15,000 outdoor industry insiders who share jobs, industry contacts, and advice.
Today, we have five outdoor industry positions based everywhere from Vancouver to Burlington, Vermont, and elsewhere. And they're across many different facets of the industry and require different levels of experience. So it should be a good smattering.
And then we have a very anticipated interview with Caleb Fields from the North Face, and he is a senior manager in their HR department. Caleb comes from a background of diversity and inclusion work in the education sector and actually gives us the lowdown on bringing that experience to the North Face and the outdoor industry. And he has a ton of great tips for people looking to pivot into this industry mid-career, just like he did.
And we got to ask him a bunch of questions from all of you, our community. So thank you so much for submitting those questions. They were poignant and timely and very smart. So thank you for making us look good.
Yeah, exactly. And we have a ton, the jobs that we have once again this week are superb. We're going to start off with a position for a partnerships and program manager for a collaboration between People for Bikes and the Better Bike Share Partnership. And this is going to be based in Boulder, Colorado. They want someone with some experience, about a mid-level five-year situation. And they posted their salary, which we love, $55,000 to $70,000. So this person is going to have a very, very cool job. And basically, they want somebody to support community-focused programs to get people outside, to get people on bikes, and to really just work with communities that might not have access to the cycling world. Now, the job listing very heavily suggests that you're going to be working with BIPOC, immigrant, historically underserved communities. So I would highly recommend that the BIPOC community actually apply for this position because it sounds like lived experience would be a great asset. But generally speaking, if you have experience building community and a passion for cycling, this would be a great gig for you.
Awesome. Sounds like a really fun collaboration between the two brands. So cool to see. The next job is at Arc'teryx, and this is in Vancouver, Canada. This is a bit more of a technical job. It's a 3D creative lead, so you definitely have to have some hard skills there. They're looking for somebody with over 5 years of experience. And so you would be sort of overseeing and developing the design team's digitalization capabilities, providing advanced 3D design and prototyping tools and training. So really you're kind of leading the charge here on their 3D, creation technologies and assets, and really making them pretty innovative and next level in terms of what they're producing. So it's a cool position if you have this experience for sure. And Arc'teryx is a great company to work for.
Yeah, they're actually hiring a contract position for the same team. So somebody a little bit of a lower level that would probably work for the person that you just described and on a contract basis. And that's right on their site, right below this one, which is awesome. We have a job in West Virginia, which I don't see coming up very often, with West Virginia University. And it is fairly entry level. They want about 2 years. They do request a bachelor's degree, but the position is for an outdoor marketing and communications manager, again, in Morgantown, West Virginia. A pretty cool gig. You're going to be working with the Outdoor Economic Development Collaborative in that state and using your savvy in strategic content and digital communications to really get some new partners. The outdoor economy there is booming, and you would really be supporting that in a meaningful way with the university and with some of the brands that are out there in that region too. They say a passion for the outdoors is a must, no surprise there, but it would be a really cool opportunity to work for a university in an outdoor capacity.
Very cool. Yeah. Love seeing these kind of outdoor industry jobs in places that aren't hubs, that you wouldn't think of otherwise. So it's nice to see that there are so many opportunities out there that people just maybe aren't associating as the traditional outdoor industry positions, like working for a university, a regional, tourism, outdoor efforts, that sort of thing. So definitely a cool job.
Yeah.
The next position we have is with 1% for the Planet. They have a lot of brand partners that basically work to donate 1% of their profits for the planet, for conservation. So an amazing organization, probably one of the biggest conservation organizations in the outdoor industry. This job is remote or in Burlington, Vermont. So that is up to you. And it's a membership coordinator, so 2 years of experience. And this person would be working with 1% for the Planet's small business members in regions in Eastern North America, Asia Pacific, and Africa. So really a great opportunity for somebody who maybe is still kind of entry level. But wants to, you know, build a network, because when you're working with you know, partnering organizations, you get the chance to really build up your Rolodex and your contacts and make some impressions. And this is a great networking opportunity as well as, you know, opportunity to work for a good cause.
Yeah, I think that would be so much fun. Love that it's entry level as well. And again, love that it is an option for remote work if the candidate so chooses. The last opportunity is going to be great for somebody with some marketing experience under their belt. It is with Black Diamond. There's actually two opportunities in their Salt Lake City, Utah headquarters. The first is for the director of brand marketing, and then the second is actually for the director of communications and social media. And both require about 5 to 7 years of experience and are going to be doing, you know, the traditional things you would associate with those jobs, leading the key brand marketing initiatives. You're basically going to be responsible for, dependent on the job, of course, their global strategies in either branding or communications or social. Black Diamond has been in the news quite a bit lately, I would say. So this would be a huge opportunity for somebody that wants to incorporate a lot of equity and justice into the communications of a brand that is really great and has really needs an infusion of someone passionate like that.
Awesome. Love Black Diamond. They've been just a staple in the outdoor industry for so long. And these are some pretty, pretty big positions for such a core outdoor brand. So very cool to see.
Big opportunities there. Yeah. And that's all for the jobs today. Some super good ones. And we had a ton of amazing jobs in our newsletter this week too. So we'd encourage you to check that out. But we have a very, very exciting interview to get to first.
All right. Let's go talk to Caleb.
Yeah.
Now we are so, so excited to have Caleb Fields, the senior manager, HR business partner for the North Face, covering global functions. Caleb, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So, Caleb, how long have you been at the North Face?
Yes, I just hit my 1 year mark, July 17th. So I've been with the North Face for a year. I've changed my support of a couple of the teams throughout that year. But yeah, I was part of kind of that new wave that was hired when there was a change from Alameda to Denver.
Oh, okay. Well, congrats on the year.
Thank you.
I'm assuming you were in the outdoor industry before you joined the North Face, or is this a new industry for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. So my journey is somewhat unorthodox. So I grew up on the west side of Chicago, had very limited access to the outdoors. And 7 years ago, I really felt like I needed a change and began to come out to Colorado, where my brother lived. And while I started to get outside more, it really changed my life and it allowed me to take a deep breath, be away from people, be away from the city, and really ask myself some questions about some of the things that were coming my way, you know, by way of the urban environment. And so it really caused me to think about who I am. And it's for that reason I really I'm passionate about the outdoors and passionate about access for kids who grew up like me. But I actually came from the education world. So I was an assistant principal, got heavily involved in diversity, equity, and inclusion work. And I eventually ended up in talent acquisition or recruitment leadership in a role at Denver Public Schools, where I started to look at processes within recruitment, interviewing, and hiring. And just making sure that they really embraced equitable practices So through that connection, I was actually linked with VF when VF moved to Denver, which is the parent company of the North Face, and went through the interview process and really the tie between my love for the outdoors and then the opportunity, you know, for us at the North Face to really begin to help change the face of the outdoors, made it very attractive to me. So I'm lucky to be here and have been here for a year and just have learned so much.
Wow, that's such an interesting path. Can you talk a little bit more just about what that was like in terms of, like, did you reach out to the North Face? Did they reach out to you? You know, how did you position yourself as a candidate for an outdoor industry brand when you weren't coming from that background?
Yes, yeah, that's a great question. So I think, you know, I actually had a couple connections. You know, I always pride myself on networking, particularly networking for the purposes of diversity, equity, inclusion. We call it inclusion and diversity at VF and at the North Face. And so I really offered my support to a mutual connection of mine that happened to work at VF. And through many different conversations, there was an opportunity that popped up, and one that was in an industry that I was super passionate about. And obviously, like I said, had changed my life in some ways. So I did enter the interview process and went through with other candidates and then was selected for the role. But I think it was really important for me to kind of tie some of my previous experience in recruitment and HR and creating culture at an organization, even though it was in education, and how that would then be translated into the outdoor industry and in this case, in the North Face. So, you know, I think there was an element of taking a chance on me, and I'm super thankful that they did. But I also, you know, found it very, very important to onboard correctly and get to know the industry as quickly as I could. And so I'm still doing that as I work with our teams.
Amazing. And we actually got a lot of questions about both diversity and equity and also how people from outside of this industry can break in and can convince a company to take a chance on them. So we're going to ask you about that in a little bit, but I think that you have a perfect perspective to answer. But I am also super curious, you've been at the North Face for about a year now, and what sets it apart from other workplaces in terms of just the culture that you see every day, the benefits, the hiring approach? What sets it apart for you?
Yeah, I think it's really this focus on community. I think creating community is one of our core values, creating a global community. And I think that value is very unique and really rooted in the expeditionary, you know, culture that we were founded on, right? The idea of being an individual contributor as part of a larger purpose or mission or expedition is really ingrained in who we are. So I think we believe that, you know, in the best communities, we push each other to disrupt, which is another one of our values, and to be innovative, but also embrace kind of the different perspectives that each person has. Because we're now located in Denver, I think it's an awesome place for the outdoors community. We're in a unique spot where we want to remain true to who we are and what makes us the North Face by producing the best products in the world, but also doing this in a way that I think attracts communities who have not traditionally been present in large numbers in the outdoors. So that's why I continue to be attracted to working at the North Face and feel privileged to be part of that team. And I think that creating community, the community culture is key to who we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's almost like it's like your expeditions that you send athletes on where they're really working as a team. It's almost kind mm-hmm. of like the same sort of culture, but internally with the staff all working towards a goal, which is really cool.
Yes, definitely.
Do you have any favorite memories from working at the North Face? I'm sure there's been some, you know, kind of maybe outdoor perks since it is in the outdoor industry, or just something that maybe is fun and different at the company than what you've experienced elsewhere.
Yes, definitely. I think my favorite memory is actually probably in the first 3 weeks of my tenure at the North Face. We do what's called athlete-led hikes, athlete-led trips with our TNF athletes. Yes. And Jim Zellers, who's probably best known for his snowboarding, but also, you know, other sports, He and I kind of found ourselves at the head of the pack. I did my best to keep up with him for as much as but you know, just sharing, you know, some of his stories about the outdoors, his expeditions, and then just his passion was just amazing. And I think as a new employee, it got me super fired up, and it's continued to fire me up. And he actually guessed the gender of my child at the time. So it was just a really cool interaction with a really cool person.
Did he get it right?
He did. He did. And I got it wrong. We were keeping it a secret at the time. So.
Well, you had a 50-50 shot, so.
I did.
Actually, that's a great, I got a question via message about the paid parental leave policy at the North Face. Could you touch on that briefly since you had such a nice segue?
Yes. So we are obviously keeping track of kind of, you know, national, international trends. And so the paid parental leave actually starts, you know, in our current policy after 1 year. And so we do have a period of time where we allow employees to, you know, be away from work. We obviously embrace that time with the family, but we do have a policy in place that takes effect after a year. We try to be as flexible within that year as well. So, you know, we work with managers to make sure that people are able to have time away. That's super important, you know, that work-life balance.
Got it. So now, Caleb, I know that you're not specifically on the recruiting team, but you're probably going to have some good insight. Can you tell us how many applications, generally speaking, the North Face receives for a position? And then how many people are actually on the team working to make good hiring decisions?
Yeah. So I think, you know, the answer to that question really depends on the role. So some of our highly technical roles may have less applications, but I think, you know, we get several hundred applications at times for specific roles, you know, particularly in places where they're not highly technical. So we have several recruiters that work actually across all of our VF brands. We have a couple that are dedicated, you know, specifically to specific brands, but they work in partnership with HR business partners like myself and then hiring managers to really identify the key skills and experiences that we're looking for in each role. I think we all also coach our hiring managers to think outside the box about candidates when it's available, to look at, you know, non-traditional places, non-traditional candidates to fill roles, because I think we really rely on the diversity of perspectives and experiences. But yeah, we get a lot of applications, and we have, you know, a recruitment staff that kind of handles the screening of those applications.
And so you guys do screening, obviously, of inbound applications, but if you're looking for a diverse candidate pool, you'll probably do some headhunting as well and or outreach. Can you talk about those processes a little bit?
Yeah, so I think from what I know, and obviously this is more of a TA, you know, they probably have a little bit more expertise on their methods and strategies, but I think this is also dependent on the role. We do, you know, as many companies rely on a combination of inbound applications as well as the ability to create kind of industry or role-specific networks where we might run into talent that's good for our organization. So I know that our recruiters go to a lot of events, not right now, obviously. You know, they rely on places like LinkedIn and other professional networks. But with a lot of our highly technical roles, there's obviously limited talent, or what we call, you know, talent scarcity. So we have to be really innovative in how we find this talent. And typically it's through networking and connections and finding the right fit, but also the right culture at times.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what does culture add mean? And then fit, I'm assuming you mean hard skills, but if there are soft skills someone has, feel free to speak to those.
Yeah. When I think about culture fit, I think there's, you know, obviously a passion for outdoors and being a leader in the outdoors when you're at the North Face. So I do think it's skill-based. It's also kind of a mindset of, you know, you're passionate about the work, you're passionate about the community. Those are things, you know, know, many different people have, even though they don't have an outdoors industry background. I think Culture Ad is really, you know, similar to my own experience of, you know, there were things that needed to, you know, be, explored a little bit more within our industry. And I think, you know, when you have experience that you can directly connect, whether it's, you know, I'm a project manager that's driven results and created organizational structure around processes in another industry, I think you can be a culture ad and create a different perspective. I think that our recruiters are looking for that, and as well as our hiring managers.
Would you recommend putting something like that in a cover letter? Would you recommend reaching out to someone like yourself or a recruiter on LinkedIn? What's the best way to convey that a candidate has what these skills are?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. You know, I think from my perspective, I think reading about, I'll go into a couple things that, you know, might help people stand out and get connected to recruiters or hiring managers. I think reading about the industry and kind of what companies are doing and knowing what they are prioritizing and kind of what's at the foundational, like the foundational initiatives that they're working on is super important. And I think tying that into how you can fit a need or push the work forward is super, super, you know, important. I think, you know, when you're reaching out to people, I think it's really important to have a quick pitch intro that you can clearly and concisely talk about how you might be a good fit for the company, your skills and your experience. I would not suggest stating that, you know, and I've gotten a couple of these before where it says, you know, I just want to hear more about your company, or like, would you want to set time up for me to talk about your role? I will be honest, like many recruiters, many HR professionals and managers, like do not have the time to proactively reach out to an individual and set up time with them. I think they are looking at their profile, they're looking at their skills and their expertise. And I think the sooner you can present that information, the better. I also will lastly say, I think it's really cool when people post about relevant topics. For example, like in the outdoor industry, as well as in the United States, we're looking at people who are passionate about leading the outdoor industry to be more diverse and inclusive, which is why I originally joined my company. I think that recruiters notice that, hiring managers notice that. And when you're, you know, in the know and kind of posting about relevant things, that can be helpful to stand out.
Yeah, we've heard the same thing from Patagonia, you know, in terms of environmental activism or any sort of activism, they've mentioned, you know, they want to see what are you doing, you know, whether it's social or you talk about it in your cover letter or whatever. But yeah, they're very interested in the activist angle as well.
Would you say that so the LinkedIn profile stuff is so great. That's just like a key thing that a lot of people might not really think about, or this might jog them to do it a bit more. What about a personal website? Do you find yourself navigating to those often?
I think, you know, in speaking with our recruitment team and then working in recruitment before, I think the easier you can get people access to your info, the better. And, you know, the only thing I would shy away from in that is clicking through many links. I think, you know, again, the time and the screening that is involved. I mean, when you're looking at hundreds of applications, you want that information accessible. And I think that's just how our culture is, right? So if I'm clicking into a resume or clicking into a cover letter or clicking into a portfolio and then clicking into additional links, that can be a little bit difficult. I'm not saying that that's impossible, but the access to information and kind of the clarity around whether this person is a potential candidate happens pretty quickly, honestly.
Heard. Since COVID has occurred, though, has recruiting and hiring shifted, and have the way that applicants presented themselves had to change as well? Or has it been pretty much business as usual that way?
Yeah, I think in some ways, because of our shift to virtual that was already happening, I think in some ways it's been business as usual. But I would be remiss to say that it hasn't changed drastically in other ways. I think we've seen hiring across the board within our industry or outside of our industry change in general, right? I think many companies have become a little bit more conservative with their hiring, may resort to more contract workers or, you know, specific needed projects. I think it's also a fluid situation that a lot of companies are continuing to track very carefully. I will say that we do have opportunities, so I wouldn't get discouraged. And, you know, as I know, others within the outdoor industry may be hiring as well. So there are opportunities within VF, and, you know, we are hiring for certain things, and we do have contract roles available as well. I think the pace at which hiring was happening has changed across the industry and across many different industries.
Mm-hmm. And are your contract roles listed the same as full-time roles, like on the website, easy to find?
Yes, they are. So we actually go through the same process as our full-time roles. And our recruiters, you know, do work on most of those roles as well. So you would still apply just as you would a full-time role. But mm-hmm. It would really say contract.
And so I'm assuming everyone is still remote and there's no sort of end date in sight. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm assuming that's the case. Do you think that will shift the North Face's sort of culture around remote work? Will there be more remote work once the office opens back up? Or do you think everyone will be back in the office full time?
Yeah, I think the goal, you know, because of our values of community, we obviously want to get everyone back in the office in a safe way. I think we're constantly evaluating kind of the federal and local guidelines and making sure that everything is safe. You know, naturally, a lot, you know, some of our roles are definitely better in person, particularly our product and design roles. And so we're constantly evaluating that. But, you know, it's great to have, you know, our town halls all together where we can have employees, you know, in person. But ultimately, you know, our people first approach is that we want to make sure people are safe. And so, you know, it's a fluid situation as we see across the country. And safety is the priority.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So, Caleb, you mentioned contract work. So I did want to skip a question for a second and speak to the freelancer community. We have a ton of creatives in our community, and they do anything from graphic design to copywriting, photography, just a creative assets across the sphere. And they're wondering if there's opportunities for them to get involved, maybe on a project basis, a contract basis. What would that look like?
Yes. So similar to what I said earlier, we do have our contract roles online. So there, to answer the question, yes, there are opportunities, and you know, you will see them up on our website. And you know, our contract roles go through the similar hiring process as full-time. And so although it may say that in the job description, I would plan to go through an interview process. Because our recruiters are kind of gathering resumes and presenting those to the hiring managers, just as we do our full-time roles. So for those creatives out there, I actually support our creative team. Yeah, we are looking for people for specific projects and for specific roles for specific time periods. So definitely keep an eye out on our website.
Okay, cool. So it is a formalized process. That's really clear then. Thank you. And then additionally, someone wanted to know how much time they should be spending on their cover letter versus maybe just getting some keywords in there, which is obviously dependent on if there is a computer screening the resume first or a person.
Yeah. So what you'll see in a lot of systems is that, you know, there are several questions outside of attaching your resume and your cover letter. And so sometimes there will be, you know, people that are either screened out or scored, but I think one of the things that you do want to focus on is catering your resume and your cover letter to the role, like really looking at that job description and the skills that are needed and matching it up almost specifically or like exactly with the what the role is, your resume and the role that's posted. I have seen, I think our recruiters have seen a lot of great candidates that kind of just mass apply to roles and don't put in that effort to really cater their information to the role. And so it becomes a lot more difficult to sort through and kind of make those connections to say, yes, this person's skills do match up with what we're looking for, or they don't match up with what they're looking for. So my main advice is that you put that time into the resume and make sure that that language is easily matched up for somebody that's looking at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's important to remember that you're up against competition who are doing that. So if you aren't doing that, then it's unlikely that you're going to get noticed.
Yes. And I would just also add that you definitely want to control the things that you can control. So, you know, spelling and all of that, you don't want recruiters or other folks to write you off for things that you can control. So, you know, take pride in that resume, take pride in that information that you're submitting, because that is the initial reflection of who you are as a candidate.
Okay. And so let's hop back again. I'm sorry, I'm just keep hopping back because you've touched on so many of the great questions that our community has. A lot of them are surrounding diversity and inclusion, and it sounds like you have a lot of passion for that and a lot of lived experience as well. And so can you tell us, within the hiring process, when you are, you know, either trying to recruit candidates or when you have incoming candidates, what processes are there that sets the North Face apart?
Yeah, I think this is a growing area for everyone. You know, when I hear companies say that they have it figured out, or they have inclusion and diversity figured out, I question. I think we are and have been doing a lot to infuse, you know, these practices into our process for a while now. And I think, you know, obviously the times that we live in, it becomes even more urgent to make sure that we have diverse representation and diverse perspectives in our organizations. I think, you know, if we're honest with the fact that our industry hasn't traditionally been the most inclusive or diverse one, but we have a bunch of opportunity. I think some things we continue to look at are the ability, you know, to have internships and look at our hiring processes that encourage people with diverse backgrounds to be part of our organization. I think we're continuing to develop our long-term commitments and processes at a TNF and VF corporation level. We look for events and networks that are more diverse. We also encourage our hiring managers to look at non-traditional candidates for roles where hires can be more of a culture add rather than a culture fit, like I talked about. And then finally, I think the most important thing that, you know, organizations hopefully are focusing on is this idea that, like, we have to create talent, diverse talent ready organizations at the same time we're looking for diversity. And so for us, we rely heavily on our employee resource groups, one of which is called ACE Diversity, just an amazing driving force within our organization to, you know, constantly look at necessary resources and events to help our employees, create, you know, more of a inclusive and diverse environment. So I think, you know, while we're looking for more diverse perspectives, we also need to make sure that, you know, as we are, we look at our organization and make sure that, you know, people are going to have great experiences and they're truly going to be valued when they join, mm-hmm. join VF and TNF.
Yeah. So it's not just about bringing in diversity, but making sure they feel supported and included once they're on board.
You know, the question in particular was for the executive level, if there is any changes being made there, because I know that it's probably a great step to do internships and things of that nature and to get a really new employee workforce that is more diverse. But at the top, it's a little bit harder. So I'm just curious if there's anything happening there in particular with the executive team or the board.
Yeah, I think that there are definitely happening within VF where we're looking at that very strategically. As I said, you know, we want to make sure that we're looking non-traditionally in times. You know, our diverse leadership is scarce, as we all know. So,
yeah.
Know it is a priority of our executive leadership team of VF and as well as TNF to really look at the representation and the voices that are at the table. I think, you know, it's a constant, you know, process, but it's definitely something that's on the radar. And I think, you know, we hear it within the organization and obviously outside of the organization. And if we're truly going to be outdoor leaders in this space, we have to make bold bold decisions. And I think, you know, our leadership will do that and is has already done that in some ways.
Have you been able to bring in some of the experience that you had previously and bring in some of those tactical things to a big corporation like the North Face?
Yes, I think, you know, it is a process and we want long-term change, right? I think, you know, many of us, including myself, you know, initially think of, you know, what are the immediate actions we can take? And I think those, you know, those need to be taken in some cases, but we really want long-term change. And I think hopefully every organization is looking at how do we change, you know, not only the what we do, but really the why that we do it. Because it is the right thing to do. And so I think it is an ask of many organizations to have their hiring managers think differently about talent, have their leaders think differently about talent. My experience at the North Face has been a positive one where, you know, people are willing to be pushed, people are willing to enter discussions. So I think it's an exciting thing to kind of take on as an organization and as HR and as all of us in the community. But yes, I've definitely relied on some of my previous experiences as we look to create kind of a better future here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's something that, yep, there's actions that we can take now, but also being very deliberate and thoughtful is important. And I know that both VF and the North Face are really great about communicating initiatives that they're doing. So it's something where knowing it's going on behind the scenes and it's going on perpetually, like it's something that you're always going to be thinking about is great. So appreciate the insight into that. So if a candidate is coming from outside of the industry, as you did, what are the sorts of things to say that they can do that will make you confident taking the chance on them, because they're untested and they may not have the specific experience in this sphere. So what could they do to supplement that?
Yeah, I think, you know, as you mentioned, this is my story. And I think it was something that was somewhat intimidating for me. I would just, you know, people that are listening, I would, you know, just encourage them because it definitely is possible. And I think a lot of organizations, as they should be, are starting to look at more non-traditional, in quotation mark, candidates. I think, you know, it's really comes down to the skill sets and improving and just making sure that your skill sets are positioned in the right way in the process. So if you can make a connection to the actual job description, and your expertise and skills, I think you have a good chance of them seeing a potential fit or a potential add. I use that example of like project management across industries, HR across industries. There are some roles that I would argue, you know, are super technical and you do need specific expertise. And so to break down those barriers and get into those roles may be a lot more difficult, but I think for leaders, we want to see that you have, you know, led a team towards goals and have equipped them and gotten rid of some barriers for your people, but also, you know, empowered people to be leaders on their own. And then I think for individual contributors, we want to see that the skill sets and the ability to drive results and problem solve are there. So I think those are some consistencies. But again, I go back to this idea that your resume really has to be catered to the role. So in my situation, I had to take my education skills and recruitment and really cater that to the role that I was applying for. And it has to be the right company. It has to be the right recruiter, but it does happen. And I think it's going to happen more often now as we move forward.
I think that's wonderful. And I think that's it's really great to hear because there's so many people that want to break into this industry and they have amazing assets, like you said, a culture add, if you will. So that's excellent. And then how could someone convert in the field experience into a more of a corporate setting? Because a lot of people start either guiding or in a retail environment, but really want to advance their career.
Yeah, I think, you know, that passion, and I speak from the North Face, I speak from the recruiters I know, like the passion definitely has to be there. So I think if people have that background in the outdoor space, that's attractive already, right? I think, you know, one of the things that may come up later on in the interview process is, like, you know, that very question of how are you going to translate from this very different background, this very different environment to the corporate world. I remember that coming my way. And so I think you need to kind of practice, you know, what your story is, and that story has to be genuine. I think you have to stay true to yourself. I don't think that you should ever act like someone you're not, because ultimately this is it's a matching process, right? With hiring. And so you need to be a good fit for the company or a good ad for the company, but that company also needs to be a good fit or ad for you. So I think you need to be able to talk about your strengths, talk about your areas of growth. And then in some cases, your areas of growth may be that you need to, you know a little bit more about a corporate environment or an office environment. And so I think that's okay. But again, you know, this is about staying true to who you are. And being passionate. And I think hopefully our recruiters, I know our recruiters and hiring managers see that. That's evident when people are themselves.
Really great point about this being a two-way fit. So honesty saves everyone time. If it's not a good fit for one party, it's automatically not going to be a good fit for both. So Speak up in that regard for sure. Anything else, Caleb, that you would like to add that we did not have a chance to cover?
I think the only thing that I would add is, you know, for folks that are listening, I just would encourage you not to be hard on yourself. You know, this is it's truly unprecedented times, you know, in our world and also in the job market and things like that. And so I would just encourage everybody to take care of yourself and really control the things that you can control. This is a competitive job market, you know, and at the same time, you should stay true to yourself and put in the work to find the right opportunity. You know, and the other thing is, as you look for jobs, just know the company's value and purpose and really make sure that's aligned with who you are. And tie yourself in your work to those values and purpose. And, you know, again, I wish everybody the best. And just again, don't be too hard on yourself. These are unique times. So I hope everybody's taking care of their, you know, mental and physical health.
Great. Thank you so much. We've really enjoyed talking to you and hearing a little bit more about the North Face and what it's like to work there. So thank you for the insight.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you so much. Really helpful. Our community is going to be stoked to get some answers to their questions. And I think this is going to be really helpful for all of the candidates out there that would love to work at the North Face and just in the industry.
We want to say one more thank you to Caleb and the North Face for coming on the podcast, and a huge thank you to the Basecamp community members that submitted the great questions that we asked Caleb during the interview. We hope that you learned something. We hope you got your questions answered. And we are always open to learning what you'd like to know from our guests. Just go to outdoordreamjobs.com, and there are some email and Facebook links there for you to reach us. We're always happy to hear from you. Also wanted to thank you folks for your patience the last couple of weeks as Allie and myself transitioned back to our West Coast homes from being on the East Coast with some family. We really appreciate that, and we really appreciate all of your feedback so far. We are working on a couple of things with our sound quality and really appreciate you sticking by us as we navigate the waters of a new venture with podcasting. Again, always love hearing from you, love hearing about your feedback, what you'd like to hear on the podcast, and what you'd like to hear about in the newsletter. We will be back next week with our special interview with guests that tell you about their career journey. In particular, this week we're interviewing entrepreneurs that started their own business in the outdoor industry. So we'll talk to you then.